You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Oil Spills Podcast for Tuesday, June 11th, 2019. I'm your host, Craig Ellingson, and with me this week is Hockey Hall of Fame writer Jim Matheson. We'll talk about Milan Lucic, and whether a rumor that the Edmonton Oilers are exploring a trade with the Vancouver Canucks that would see Lucic go to Vancouver, his hometown, for forward Louis Erickson makes sense for the Oilers, for the Canucks, and for the players involved. We'll also talk about Jesse Puljujärvi, the Oilers forward who just finished his three-year entry-level contract. We'll talk about what's best for the Oilers and for the player. Do the Oilers stick with him for one more year to see what he's capable of doing, or should they try to move him on right now and get something in return before he loses his value? We'll also talk about the 8th overall pick the Oilers hold in next week's NHL draft and what kind of player they should target with it. I like to think that where there's smoke, there's fire. And in the case of this smoke, it's Milan Lucic on the move to the Vancouver Canucks, perhaps for Louis Erickson, or something involving those two players, at the very least. Or, you know, I guess at the very most. I mean, there's a, you know, someone threw out the James Neal idea, but can't imagine the Calgary Flames would want either Lucic or Erickson for James Neal.
That's
ridiculous.
The Calgary Flames would like to get rid of that $5 million contract, but not bring back Milan Lucic.
Right.
So it's, yeah, it's, and the Erickson Lucic thing, that's been out there for a year. And I know that the national media seemed to have caught on, but we've been writing that and talking about it for a year because of the, they make the same amount of money. And neither player was performing up to the $6 million. And in the case now, it's Milan Lucic going on a Vancouver radio station says, you know, maybe it's time for me to leave Edmonton and, you know, maybe Vancouver because he's from Vancouver. And it's Louis Erickson quoted in a Swedish publication saying, you know, he doesn't think the coach, he didn't get along with the coach, Travis Green. And so, you know, it sort of makes sense. And it makes sense from a dollar standpoint in terms of cap hit, $6 million. Lucic has 4 years left. Erickson has three. Except Vancouver needs Lucic more than the Edmonton Oilers need Louis Erickson. Vancouver wants a more physical presence to look after Elias Pettersson and Brock Besser. And as the Oilers did when they signed Lucic in the first place, they wanted, you know, they felt Connor McDavid would benefit from having Lucic on his team. And it, you know, became clear that nobody can hit Connor McDavid anyway, so you can't catch him. So you don't necessarily need somebody to protect him. And in Erickson's case, I just don't see a fit for Louis Erickson on the Oilers. I think he has been a good player. He got 30 goals before he got the $6 million deal in, for 6 years in Vancouver. So he parlayed that 30 goals into $36 million. And he has scored 30 a couple of times. And he did play for Dave Tippett in Dallas, but that's about 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. He was a lot younger. And I don't think he can turn the clock back. Louis Erickson turns 34 years old July 17th. And Lucic is several years younger than that.
He's 30 this year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's talk that the owners would have to throw in something to trade Lucic. Why? One player's got 3 years left. One player's got 4 years left. Lucic is more valuable to Vancouver than Eriksson would be to the owners. So I don't see why the owners should give Vancouver anything. You know, if Vancouver wants Lucic, then hold them up for a draft pick. And the owners will take Eriksson. I don't know where Eriksson would play. The owners seem to want to get faster, but Eriksson's not fast. He has better hands, I think, than Lucic. But over the last 3 years, it's about a wash in terms of the total number of goals. 36 for Lucic, 33, I believe, for Eriksson. So it's about the same. Eriksson gets more points the last couple of years than Lucic perhaps would. But right now, Eriksson has become a third to fourth line player in Vancouver, as Lucic is in Edmonton. But Lucic still has a physical presence, and Eriksson would just be there to hopefully prop up and score a few more goals than Lucic. But where he would play for that $6 million is debatable.
Well, I would imagine that both teams would want to see a fire lit under the players they're acquiring. No, yes, Eriksson is 4 years older than Lucic. But, you know, clearly before he landed in Vancouver, he had enjoyed a few years where he was scoring, like you said, he scored 30 goals plus twice. And that's over the last, 10 years. You know, his last year in Boston, he scored 30. That was one of those years. And he's had 20 goal years consistently. He was a consistent player, scorer at the very least.
Well, he was good enough in his time in Dallas to be the central part of the Tyler Seguin.
Right.
Because Boston, you know, Peter Chiarelli traded Seguin and got Eriksson and Riley Smith as the two main pieces in that deal. And as it turns out, Riley Smith's a better player than Louis Eriksson. Who knew? Boston got rid of Riley Smith as well. But it's the diminishing return in both cases. Neither player is as good as they once were. They both make the same amount of money, but I just think that the need for Lucic in Vancouver is more than the need for Eriksson in Edmonton. Mm. And I don't see how that helps the Oilers cap issue out to get rid of a $6 million Lucic and bring back a $6 million Eriksson. I think the Oilers, help themselves in terms of a cap hit, they have to trade Lucic and bring back a $4 million player, not a $6 million player, to buy them a couple of million dollars to spend on something else. But I guess it remains to be seen. And this is not Ken Holland's dog in the fight, Milan Lucic. This was Peter Chiarelli. So he's not as tied to Lucic as Jim Benning is tied to Louis Eriksson, because Benning signed mm-hmm. Louis Eriksson to that 6-year deal.
How important is familiarity for players? I mean, Eriksson saying, you know, he's not getting along with Tarvis Green, the idea that Tippett's there. How important is it for a player to feel familiar and comfortable with the coach in order to produce?
It's there. You need somebody in your corner, I guess. Mm-hmm. And Tippett would be in his corner from 12 years ago. Not
sure.
2 years ago, three years ago.
But it's not lost to me that actually didn't Gullitson replace Tippett as the coach in Dallas? And he did coach there for what, a couple of years? So, you know, obviously Gullitson's on the coaching staff too.
But that was a long time ago.
True enough.
So
We're reaching here.
There's always threads to every trade. Oh, sure. I knew him when, and he knows him, and he thinks he can be a player. I guess every time you trade an established player for another established player, there's usually an uptick the first year because they're in a new spot and they want to show that the new team that they can play well. Mm-hmm. It's after that. That's the question mark. And if the owners trade for Louis Eriksson, after 1 year, he'll be 35 years old.
True. I mean, obviously that extra year on Lucic's contract has to be of some importance to the Oilers. Let's say the deal goes ahead. Let's say it's one for one, just to make it less complicated.
And I would imagine both the Oilers and the Canucks want to test drive these guys for at least a year to see where they're at. And if they're both washes, then, you know, it's like, well, guess what, guys? It's only one more year till the expansion draft. And, you know, so the specter of buying these guys out, I mean, the Oilers would be on the hook for less than the Canucks will be. There's still that.
Oh, yeah, the expansion, you can't – players with no move clauses have to be protected. They can't go on – they can't be unprotected and available for another team. Mm-hmm. That specter is there. But I also think teams are looking to be good now too. And while the expansion draft's a couple of years away, you know, you're looking at your protected list and stuff, I think – specifically when you've got a new coach and a new general manager, they want to be better now with the best player in the league. So I think that wouldn't be – I don't think the expansion draft would have a whole lot of bearing in a trade of these two players.
How is Louis Erickson without the puck? How is he defensively?
He kills penalties there. I think he's better defensively than Milan is. I think Louis doesn't do much off the rush anymore. Louis's goals are scored around the net, kind of garbage type goals. Somebody else takes a shot, maybe Louis puts in the rebound. Louis would be used in a penalty killing role probably with the Oilers, whereas Lucic was not, and Lucic was on the second power play. I don't know if Louis would be on the power play for the Oilers. So Louis doesn't get a lot of penalty minutes, only 180 in his NHL career. So they're losing, obviously, that. But if the Oilers traded Lucic, they still have Cassian and Darnell Nurse on defense. They're tough enough. And depending on what happens to Jujar Kara, if he gets traded or he's here, he can help out physically as well. So I think trading Lucic for his toughness, there's enough toughness on the Oilers to get by without Lucic. And in Milan's case, who wants to fight Lucic anyway? I mean, he rides the range, but nobody's fighting him. He had a couple of fights. So he's almost has to rile himself up to get anybody else to get in his way. So it's kind of manufactured stuff.
Now, I think about Louis Erickson and, you know, he kills penalties. I mean, the last three seasons in Vancouver, he's had 10, 11 goals per season. Obviously less than what he was doing in Boston and Dallas for a few seasons before that. So when the Oilers, if the Oilers, you know, acquire him, they're hoping that he would be, you know, return somewhat to form. Would he, you know, hey, it would be great if he could get 20 goals. I mean, you don't make a trade for a player unless you think you're hoping that sort of thing is going to happen. You'd probably put him in the top six to see how he does. Now, one thing that the Oilers are looking at right now, and you wrote about it, is Alex Chiasson. Now, clearly Alex Chiasson came in as a tryout on a $650,000 deal, scored 22 goals this past season, fourth on the Oilers. Now the question is, okay, should we re-sign this guy? He's probably asking, let's say, $3 million a year, but do we really want to pay that? Would bring in an Erickson who is not, like you said, not looking for him on the power play, but he could kill penalties, and Chiasson would be looked at to kill penalties as well. Would you be rolling the dice a bit?
Right now, Alex Chiasson's a better player than Louis Erickson.
Okay.
For a lot less money.
He wasn't a year ago, though.
But he is now.
Okay.
And they do the same sort of thing.
It's a gamble.
And neither one's going to play in the top six. Louis Erickson's not playing in the top six either.
All right.
He's a third line right.
But Chiasson did produce when he was given the top six.
Yes. But they look at him as third line right winger.
Sure.
So they're both looked at as third line right wingers.
He's not going to return to 20 goals if he's playing third line right wing.
No, he's not. But they're not counting on, and that's why they don't want to pay him $3 million.
Right.
They want to pay him.
But if they're just going to put him in the third line role anyway, why don't you just rely on Louis Erickson to be your third line guy and he'll kill penalties?
Because one is $6 million and one is $2 million.
Or you can have $0 million for Chiasson, let him go, and just bring in Erickson.
You know what? I'm not
we can play this game all day,
I mean,
of
I'm
course.
Sure eventually if they make the trade, I'll end up phoning Louis Erickson and say, well, welcome to the club. But right now, I'm not a big, huge Louis Erickson fan. Now, there are a couple of Swedes on the Oilers, and Klefbom and Larson, and Larson played with Eriksson in the World Championships this year, so he may have a different view than I do. But if you talk to the people out in Vancouver, nobody is. If Louis Eriksson gets traded, I don't think there's gonna be protesting in the streets for the Vancouver Canuck fans. And if Lucic gets traded from the Oilers, there will be more debate about Lucic going to the Vancouver Canucks, a rival theoretically, than Louis Eriksson coming to the Oilers. So, but this is Ken Holland's deal. He's the general manager. He's in charge of trying to improve the hockey team. I think it's kind of a lateral move myself, Eriksson for Lucic, not just in dollars, but in what they actually, in terms of offense, what they bring to the table. It's kind of apples and oranges.
Let's talk about Jesse Puljujärvi. His agent had some interesting things to say here in the last while, including that his client is not looking to go to Europe to play, as rumored, to go play in the KHL with Jokerit, Finland. He wants to play in the NHL this coming season. This coming season will be his fourth as an NHLer. But of course, you remarked to me, that agent didn't say he wanted to play for the Edmonton Oilers. He wants to play in the NHL. Are we reading into something there?
The agent most agents are there to pump the tires of their clients all the time. That's because they're the agent. So, you're right. He didn't say he wants to be an Edmonton Oiler for life. He just said he wants to play in the NHL. He's not going to be an NHL. He's not going to be an Oiler for life, I can tell you that. But it's a slippery slope in Edmonton. I think if they had more forwards, if they had, say, two forwards coming from Bakersfield who could definitely play on their team next year, they would say to Bob Puljujärvi, yeah, I think we'll trade him. We got, if Benson and Yamamoto were both ready to play in the NHL next year and had shown that right from the hop they could play and they could play every bit as well as Puljujärvi, they would say, yeah, fine. But right now, Benson may need some more time. He's at 1 year pro, and Yamamoto has been hurt the last 2 years. He's going to need time too. So there's nobody theoretically ready to come in and take Puljujärvi's spot. So Ken Holland may roll the dice, say, okay, we'll sign you to a one-year contract. Let's show me that you're better than that. Show me that you think you're a top six player. We don't think you're a top six player. I know the Oilers consider Puljujärvi a third line player right now. They consider him an NHLer, but a third line player. And until he proves he can score, 20 goals a year and get 40 points, he's not a better than a third line player. And he is Neil Yakupov. He's not Neil Yakupov light because he's much bigger than Neil Yakupov, but they waited too long to trade Yakupov and they got nothing for him. Third round pick. Yes, he's spinning his wheels here. He hasn't proven that he can be an impact maker in very many games, but the longer they wait, they're selling low. So then you're saying, okay, fourth overall pick. You have to include Puljujärvi in a deal with something else, I think, to get better value back. Trying to trade Puljujärvi for somebody else's failed player, I don't know if that would work terribly well. Although, Nick Schmaltz got traded for Dylan Strom in Chicago and Arizona, and certainly Dylan Strom was much better in Chicago with Alex DeBrincat, who played junior with in Erie, than. And Smoltz still looks like a player, so that was a case of two first round picks getting traded, but it doesn't usually work happen that way. So long answer to a short question. I think they'll sign Puljujärvi to a one-year contract and he'll be on the team to start the season and we'll see where it goes.
Now, you were writing recently, and you've been talking about it for a while, not just in the last week or so, but you know the idea of, you know, if the Oilers were to trade Puljujärvi and packaging him and getting something of worth, you're thinking the Winnipeg Jets might be a good partner, and Nick Ehlers is one of those players that could come. It would make sense for that deal for both sides.
It makes sense. We keep coming back to the same thing. You want Puljujärvi on the team, you bring in Eriksson, and it's the same story. We think they might be able to get this many goals. We think they might be able to get this many goals. They got 12 last year, maybe they'll get 16 this year. They need somebody who's an established player. They need, whether that's Nick Ehlers or somebody else who is a top six player. He isn't a maybe, he is a top six player. He is a 30 goal scorer. He is 23 years old. He makes $6 million a year. But I guarantee you, if you ask Ken Holland whether he's had a drink or not, would you rather have Louis Eriksson at $6 million or Nicholas Ehlers at $6 million? You're taking Ehlers in a trade, even if you have to give up some stuff. Now, I'm sure he doesn't want to give up his first-round draft pick. Winnipeg does not have one, but they'd love to get one. The last 2 years, they've traded their first-round draft pick for Stastny 1 year and Kevin Hayes last year. So they don't have a pick till 51. I'm sure they'd like to get at least a second-rounder. And the Oilers picked 38th, 8th and 38th. And if the Oilers gave up 38 and Puljujärvi and, you know, Ethan Bear or some younger defenseman to Winnipeg, maybe you can get Ehlers. I know Winnipeg's case, they're really up against it. They have to sign Laine and Connor, two of their top six forwards. Conservatively, I don't know. It's at least $12 million for those two players, and it's probably more than that. It's probably closer to $14 million for those two players. And they'd like to sign Tyler Myers on defense if they're going to trade Jacob Trouba. So if they could get rid of a $6 million player and take back some players that are making less money than that, they would. Now, whether that deal would ever come down, I have no idea. But it's worth a shot. And that's the only way the Oilers... I can't see the Oilers signing a top six forward. You know, as a free agent, you got to... There's a lot of teams out there. You got to do a heck of a sell job to get that guy coming to Edmonton as a free agent. And I just don't see that many hotshot forwards out there.
Who was going to be out there July 1?
Jordan Eberle.
Uh-huh.
They've already had Jordan Eberle. So I don't see, you know, you can go home again, but I just don't see the Oilers bringing
plus
Jordan Eberle back.
You would be adding that salary. Mind you, you would be adding salary if, you know, Nick Ehlers' situation.
Eberle's a lot older than Eberle's closer to 30. Eberle's is 23. I think Ehlers fits more with the core group of Oilers who are their younger players. He's around the same age as Dreisaitl and Connor and Nurse. And, you know, Nugent Hopkins is a few years older, but he's more in that young core, you know, area. And if you're signing free agents, they're older, late 20s. So they're not in that core group.
What about the Oilers' first-round pick, their 8th overall pick? Is that something they would consider trading, or they're going to hang on to it probably?
I think they would consider moving back if a team came to them and wanted a player at 8, and say if the team was picking 10th, say. Now, the only problem with that is Vancouver, I think, and Anaheim are those two teams that pick after the Oilers in the same division as the Oilers. I don't know if they would make that deal with, you know, a division rival to move up a couple of spots. But if they could, if the player they want, the Oilers wanted, they still thought that person was going to be there at 10, maybe they do. And for another draft pick or some sort of prospect, they might do it. But the Oilers, whatever player the Oilers get at 8, that player is a couple of years, 2 to 3 years away anyway. There's only two players in this draft that are going to play in the league next year. Jack Hughes, probably in New Jersey, who picked first, and Kako, a Finnish winger, Rangers pick second. After that, it's up in the air. The draft starts at 3 when Chicago picks. And then whoever Chicago picks, then the rest of the teams are going, ooh, we didn't think they'd take that guy. And then everybody's eyes light up. There's more forwards than defensemen. I think the wild card in for the Oilers is they really like this Finnish defenseman, Philip Broberg. He played great in the Hlinka in Edmonton. He's a little raw, but they see him as a younger Klefbom, a better skater than Oscar. He's not going to be a high-end offensive player, they don't think, but he's a really good skater and he's a big kid. If he was there, and even though the Oilers got lots of defensemen in their organization, they might still take him. For our interest, from the Edmonton fan base interest, Kirby Dach makes the most sense. He's from Fort Saskatchewan, played for the Saskatoon Blades, tall playmaking center, sort of reminds some scouts of Ryan Getzlaff in his day, more pass than shoot, but a tall player. I don't think he's as far along as Ryan was in his draft year, which was a deeper draft. But he's a playmaking center. And I know the Oilers have Nugent Hopkins and they have Dreisaitl, and they have McDavid, but Ryan Nugent Hopkins is an unrestricted free agent in 2 years. So they got to watch, are they going to give him $8 million a year or are they going to see what they do with him in the next year?
That sounds like a topic for a podcast for another day.
Yes, it's hard to believe, but he's been in the league since he was 18. So as soon as he turns 27, he's an unrestricted free agent. So they got to decide, what they do with him, what they do with Ryan. And Ryan is there, of course. Nugent Hopkins would be the chip to get the higher end offensive defenseman, I'm sure.
I should have asked the question before when we were talking about Louis Erickson. What position does he play?
Right wing.
Is he ever to spend time at center?
No, he's a winger.
I thought one of my hockey cards said he played center.
Oh, he's a winger. So okay. He's a winger.
Hopefully he plays on the left side because isn't Puljujärvi a right winger?
Yeah, I think Puljujärvi's a right winger, so is Chiasson.
Oh, geez.
So that's what I say. I think Louis Erickson's a right winger. I could be wrong, but I think Louis Erickson's a right winger.
Okay. Just a thought.
Swedish, European wingers, however, can play left wing or right wing. That's why they're Europeans.
Okay, well, we'll just have to see who looks better on the left. But
the trade for Lucic will probably get done at the draft. And if you're the Vancouver Canucks and the draft's in your city, Vancouver is always – the home city is always looking to make some sort of splash. I don't know if Milan Lucic for Louis Erickson would be a huge splash in Vancouver.
No, don't they want to do a Sedin's at the draft trade
You want to do that sort of thing. You want to suddenly move up to number 3 in the draft or something like that, but that's not happening.
That's the Oil Spills podcast for today. Subscribe to Oil Spills on iTunes and Google Play. You can also listen to it via the Edmonton Journal and Edmonton Sun apps and websites.